The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, May 16th, 2021. And thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and with me tonight is my special buddy and helper, Joan. Thank you so much. I'm going to give her some big applause for booking right in here after taking care of some work business. Always appreciated. And also special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode of the show and possible information from current AMC official promo materials for The Walking Dead. Welcome to Fear, Season 6, Episode 13. Fear continues the back half of Season 6 up to June 6th. There are three more episodes after tonight to the Season 6 finale. World Beyond Season 2 is currently slated sometime in 2021. I've already walked you guys through the math. The earliest that we might potentially see it is June 13th after Fear is over. I'm not going to walk you through the whole speech every week. Walking Dead Classic has definitely announced that they return on August 22nd, which is the weekend that would wrap up if World Beyond were to start on June 13th, then it ends on August 15th, and then the 22nd is next week, and we get Walking Dead Classic. Hopefully that's how it all works out. Fourth series is coming in 2023, the spinoff fronted by Carol and Daryl, and the episodic anthology, Tales of the Walking Dead, also slated for 2023. So, typically we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recaps from the previous episode and discussions of what is to come tonight. And then at 9 p.m. we go dark or mute and we'll watch the new episode together. And then we'll come on during the commercial breaks and we'll rate the episode from 1 to 10, 1 being good God, get it, Rotten Tomatoes off the air, and 10 is this is perfect, more please. And I'll give you commentary during the commercial breaks. We can discuss what's just happened in that segment. We also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about the parts that we know from the show that's presented to us. All right. If you want to call in to talk to the hosts, it's 914-338-0314 at any time this evening, but especially I encourage you to call between 8:30 and 9 p.m. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the next commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room, where you'll be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And I post the links for that on our Facebook page and usually my Twitter if I remember. So feel free to grab the link and hang on to that link. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or for any of our previous episodes, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening or even just listen to it on the website. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. Otherwise, just hit play. All right. Let's see if Joan has anything to say. Nope. Nothing yet, and I'm sure she will. Okay, tonight's episode of Fear is entitled JD. Yes, as in John Dory's initials, but there's a twist, and we're going to talk about that. Official AMC synopsis is, June splits off from the group in an effort to gather any information to help stop an oncoming threat. And as we typically do, I do have an additional synopsis queued up for you guys. This is entitled Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 Preview Images Reveal JD Identity. And this is from bleedingcool.com, which is one of the sources that we sometimes frequently use. I would say it's in the top five. and written by their staffer who appears to be their Walking Dead specialist on the team, Ray Fluke. All right. So Ray has to say this. Earlier today, we posted a preview for the next episode of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 that finds June setting off on a mission that could not only help them in our fight, in our hero's fight against Teddy and his The End is the Beginning folks, but also give June a chance to learn more about the man she loved and lost and how an unexpected discovery could change everything. From the previews for JD, we've seen that Keith Carradine makes an appearance, but his name was being kept secret until tonight. And, well, it was probably revealed to people who had AMC Plus and have already seen the show. And this has made the whole thing difficult to keep the spoilers out. But I digress. He says, we're throwing on the major spoilers ahead sign because his identity was revealed with the following set of preview images. So if you want to know, not that it's a big surprise, scroll to the bottom of the post where we list the cast for the reveal. The cast is posted, so that's not really a spoiler in the traditional sense. But anyhow, there are pictures, and there's a bunch of pictures I have posted, some of them tonight on the webpage for the show. You know, you can usually see images when you're in the chat room. I did not post all of them because there's several. I'm looking to see where he posted the cast list. I'm not actually seeing it. Dude, maybe it's further up and I scrolled too far. I'm not really sure, but Keith Carradine is the JD in, you know, the big grand secret here. Looking over the list. Okay. There are other names here, but they are not characters in the same way, so I don't know why they're all listed together. But anyhow, that's the additional synopsis. We'll double check in the chat room. Joan has said, or in this case, June Dory's initials. I'm sure it's ambiguous on purpose. Yes, all of the above. I am sure it's ambiguous on purpose, but what is your hunt about? Joan doesn't understand something I just said, but I'm not sure what. You know, that is a fair point. It could be June Dory. All right. So that is the end of the synopsis. Let's keep going on my notes, and I'll pop back over in just a second and see what Joan was trying to clarify with me. So writers and directors profiles, we like to give a nod to the people who create the episode. Tonight's episode was written by Nick Bernadoni and Jacob Pinon, and it was directed by Aisha Tyler. And I have to confess to you guys, I don't know anything about her other than searching her IMDb today to put together a bio for you, which I'll read in a minute. But for perspective, I will tell you guys, number one, her bio on IMDb is huge. Number two, and more importantly and telling, when they listed the episodes for the last half of the season, because of COVID and other drama going on, we only had a partial report ready to go when the mid-season finale opened. And even with that, they made sure to already pre-announce she would be directing episode 13. We had no writers' names. We didn't have any of the other directors yet, but we had hers. And I don't know why that was ready to go and made sure to be announced. But I'll read you her bio, and that will probably make it all make sense. Some of you might even know who she is, and I apologize that I don't, but I'm going to learn tonight. All righty, let's see if Joan has anything to say before we proceed. Joan, you did not miss something when I said I'm connecting Keith Carradine and the initials JD. Your family member may have been interrupting you, but you did not mishear me. I am implying that there could be a connection because of the way they presented all of it. And they have pictures of Keith. And it's where Keith is photographed and what Keith is doing that I'm pretty sure this is connected. All right. So we'll find out in a few minutes anyway, but that's all I'm going to say for now. I actually know who he's playing because they've full-on announced it, but I'm not spoiling it. I am telling you he's coming tonight because he's in the photos. Okay, let's do bios. Nick Bernadoni, one of our co-writers tonight. Nick was born in Brooklyn. He's known for his work on The Walking Dead, especially Red Machete, 2017, 30 Rock, the webisodes, 2008, and Bromos in 2009. He is the writer and producer of Red Machete. Bernadoni has had 6 nominations and 1 award win. Writers Guild of America 2018 and 19 noms for Red Machete. PGA Award winner 2013, Outstanding Digital Series for 30 Rock, the webisodes. Primetime Emmy Award noms 2012 and 13 for 30 Rock and 2018 for Red Machete. Bernadoni has also held various crew positions on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Bloodline, Saturday Night Live, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and more shows than that. He has 7 producer's credits aside from Red Machete and 7 writer's credits outside of Red Machete. He has 6 actor's credits since 2010 and 2 director's credits. He worked as a script cord for 26 episodes of Season 7 and 8 of Walking Dead Classic and 13 episodes during Season 4 and 5 of Fear. Tonight is his 3rd time writing an episode in the Walking Dead franchise. First episode that he wrote was Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 13, Leave What You Don't, which he co-wrote with Ashley Cardiff. And the second episode he wrote was Season 6, Episode 9, Things Left to Do. All right, so that's Nick. Joan has figured out what all I was saying now. We're all straight. All right, Jacob Pinon. There is no personal biographical data that I could find on Jacob. And once again, I will comment. People who are in show business in this way, I absolutely understand the need for privacy and some semblance of a life that the public is not all over, but I find it very odd when they have zero biographical data at all. It seems a little overprotective. You know, there's privacy and then there's like, why don't you want people to know anything about you? Like, what area you're from? Are you American? Let's start with that. You know, that's a fair question. But at any rate, I couldn't find it. But I do know this. Jacob has had some smaller acting and post-production credits in IMDb starting around 2012. He is known for his work on Dress Up with George B. Style in 2014, Middle Stage in 2014, and Fabby Knows Best 2014. He has director's credits for Dress Up, Middle Stage, and Fabby Knows Best. He has producer's credits for Fanfare 2014, Dress Up, Middle Stage, and Fabby, and is currently in pre-production on a drama short called Company. Directed by Jamie and Jason Neese. He has associate producer credits for comedy What's Your Emergency 2015. He has writer credits for Dress Up, Fanfare, Middle Stage, Fabby, and Company. Jacob's first position for the Walking Dead franchise was as a writer's PA during Season 4 of Fear, for 9 of the 16 episodes in 2018. His second job in the Walking Dead franchise was writer's assistant for Season 5 of Fear in 2019. And his third position in the Walking Dead franchise was writing all 6 episodes of the Althea tapes, which is the miniseries airing on the Walking Dead's YouTube channel in 2019. I have the link for it if anybody needs it. Message my page for this show if you cannot find it. All right, tonight is his 4th responsibility task in the franchise, and it's his 2nd time writing an episode of anything of the main series. In other words, not the Althea tapes. The first thing that he wrote was Season 6, Episode 7, mid-season finale, Damage from the Inside. And I put mid-season finale in quotes because it was Episode 7. All right. Last and absolutely not least, and this lady has quite a bit to say, or the internet has a lot to say about her. Aisha Naomi Tyler, born September 1970, I've got to add her and a bunch of people to the birthday list, is an American talk show host, actress, comedian, author, producer, writer, and director. She is of both African-American and Native American descent. Not trying to make a thing of it, it's in her IMDb bio. Her parents divorced when she was 10, and she and her sister, Ferry Tyler, F-E-R-I, were raised by their father, Jim. She was raised in a strictly vegetarian home. Graduated from Dartmouth with a degree in political science and a minor in environmental policy. Fascinating. She was married to Jeff Tietjens, T-I-E-T-J-E-N-S, from May 94 to May 2017. They have unfortunately divorced. They made a point in her bio mentioning that on the TV show The Talk in 2010 that she had mentioned that she and her husband had been trying to conceive a child and they were not able to do so, and this was difficult for her. I do not have any notes on what that has to do with her divorce. Not going to speculate on that, just giving you bios. All right. She moved to L.A. from her native San Francisco in 96. She was featured as entry number 61 in Maxim Magazine's Hot 100 of 2002 supplement and position 72 in Maxim Magazine's Hot 100 of 2005. She is known for playing Andrea Marino in the first season of Ghost Whisperer, voicing Lana Kane in Archer, and portraying Mother Nature in the Santa Claus film series, as well as recurring roles in CSI and Talk Soup. She worked with Scott Rocket while performing at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. They were also both working at E! Entertainment Television at the same time. She was the host of Talk Soup, and he was a producer on E! True Hollywood Story. She is a regular contributor to Glamour and Jane magazines. She also plays on the World Poker Tour in the Hollywood Home Games for the Child Help USA charity. She has her own podcast called Girl on Guy with Aisha Tyler and regularly invites comedian friends to be guests. She appeared in the music video for the song Tacky by Weird Al Yankovic. Alrighty. She has an extensive IMDb dossier, which includes composer and soundtrack credits, editor credits, writer credits, and producer credits. Her largest category is actor credits, of which she has 68, including The Santa Claus 2 and 3, where she was Mother Nature, CSI Miami, Friends, Nip Tuck, 24, the original series with Jack Bauer, CSI Classic as well, Ghost Whisperer, Boston Legal, Reno 911. It's XIII, but I assume it's pronounced 13, the series. I don't know this show, but it seemed very extensive. She did a couple episodes of Glee, Two and a Half Men, a recurring role on Archer, and she has several upcoming projects, including a as-yet-untitled horror movie due out in 2021, and the 2021 TV series Monsters at Work. Up to 2017, primarily, she directed shorter film work. From 2017 to 2020, she directed episodes of Criminal Minds, Hipsterverse, and Roswell, New Mexico. Directing tonight's episode is her seventh director's credit and her first time ever working within the Walking Dead franchise. So let's give everybody some big applause. Thank you for working on the show. Much appreciation. Alrighty. Next notes, trivia about tonight's episode. We don't have a whole lot, but we have a little. It's the 82nd episode of Fear overall. It is the first appearance, and this is common knowledge now, so it might seem spoilery, but it's not an actual spoiler. It's just a spoiler if you haven't paid attention to a lot of the promotional stuff. This is the first appearance of John Dory Sr., first played by unknown actor, they don't give him credits, in Season 6, Episode 8, The Door, and he was mentioned in the letter in Season 6, Episode 4, The Key. There was a letter that John wrote to June, and he mentioned him, but the actor is going to appear physically tonight, and that is who is played by Keith Carradine, That is John Dory's dad. It is the last appearance of the location of Tanktown and the last appearance of John Dory's cabin. And in the photographs that I mentioned, that is one of the places Keith was photographed, so we knew that was going on. All right. Starting with this episode, Keith Carradine, John Dory Sr., has been added to the opening credits, so there's really no mistaking it. All right. No co-stars are mentioned. No uncredited people are mentioned, and deaths are obviously later. Let's see. Joan does not have anything to add. I will continue. It is 8:50, so we can get quite a bit in. All right. So last episode trivia, that's the episode In Dreams, episode 12. First and last appearance of Athena Mukherjee. I don't know if I'm saying it correct, but it is Grace's last name. M-U-K-H-E-R-J-E-E. First and last appearance of Matthew. First and last appearance of John and Tina. And I believe I actually explain a couple of them further down who they are. Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. It is the last appearance of Michael Sherman in a flashback. Another person I'll explain. First and last appearance of the location Paperno Equine Veterinary Clinic. Last appearance of Bridgeview Mall. That's the place that had the carousel. Last appearance of Camp Cackleberry. That's where they rescued all the Peter Pan kids with Alicia going nuts. And Lone Star Power and Light. The title of the episode, In Dreams, is the same as the Roy Orbison song. I did mention this last week because it was known trivia already. This is the fifth time an episode's title is a title of a song that plays in the episode, the others being This Land Is Your Land, Sleigh Ride, End of the Line, and Handle with Care. One of the cultists in the episode is played by a stuntman. Oh, we have a name this week. Excellent. Ari Loeb, L-O-E-B, who played a savior in the episode Mercy in season 8 of The Walking Dead. This is the second time across the entire Walking Dead franchise to feature talking zombies, although in a dream state. The first was in The Tower when a zombie spoke to Beta while he was hallucinating. In other words, it's happened twice, but it wasn't while we were in reality and they were really speaking, but it was people dreaming that they spoke. This episode features two non-canon deaths. I don't understand why they put it that way. Oh, okay. So what they mean by this is that in real life, in the timeline of the show, this character is not dead, but the episode had him die in what we now know as hallucination. So this episode features two non-canon deaths for Colt Lieutenant Riley, where he is killed in Grace's dream state while alive by Grace and then zombified by Morgan. In reality, however, he's still alive. Grace's dream reveals her last name to be Mukherjee, M-U-K-H-E-R-J-E-E. I apologize if I mispronounced it. Feel free to drop me a note and correct me. I'm trying my best. It's on her tombstone outside of Valley Town. The first two letters of her last name were revealed in season 5 until the full name was revealed in this episode. In Grace's dream, an adult Max is a guard at Valley Town. Max was one of the kids that Alicia rescued from the camp. June is a doctor with an adult Charlie as her assistant. Al has left, presumably in search of Isabel. Strand and Daniel appear to be friends. Dwight and Sherry are married with two children. And Alicia, Luciana, and Wes have rebuilt the Del Diamond Baseball Stadium with a new community, which I actually think is leading up to what might be Madison's return. And yeah, I know she might be on the Tales from the Walking Dead. I still think she's coming back to the main show. I think they took too much lip over getting rid of her, and it's a good time to do it. All right. Grace's dream state features several references to the events of season 5. Matthew is wearing a dosimeter when Grace finds him alive and then when she puts him down as a walker. All of the radioactive walkers wore dosimeters, which makes them distinctive, which would include Matthew since he suffered the same fate as the other power plant workers. The walker that Athena put down several times is wearing a Don't Mess with Texas shirt, which is identical to the one that Grace gave to Morgan in The Hurt That Will Happen after his decontamination shower. I did not actually catch that at all. You have to have a really good memory of the show and its trivia for that. So that's why we do these things. All right. Grace and Athena pass Grace's truck parked sideways on the road as they ride a horse. A zombified Grace appears in the driver's seat wearing her radiation suit. In addition, the truck is parked at an angle similar to how Grace's truck was left parked in the radiation zone border. The only difference is that in the dream, the truck is parked at an angle to the right when in reality it was angled to the left. Wow, y'all really scrubbed for that trivia. I would never remember that. Grace and Athena find a zombified Mark Sherman under a birdcage trap. This is how Grace first met Morgan and Alicia in The Hurt That Will Happen. This episode features several flashbacks to the events of Season 5. They inserted this later, and it's different comments. It sounds like a repeat, and it's worded badly, but I didn't have time to clean it up. So Grace is shown looking at Robert Dealey's dosimeter, the skeletons of burned walkers, and the zombified residents of Camp Cackleberry from The Hurt That Will Happen. Grace is leaning against the big barn truck stop generator in despair and still standing outside of this power plant. In addition, three zombified power plant workers are shown making their way across a field from when a herd, including at least five zombified workers, went after stranded Charlie in the same episode. Grace and Morgan ride a carousel at the Bridgeview Mall in 210 words a minute, an event Grace also refers to in her dream while trying to convince Morgan of her identity. We've got 3 minutes left, so I'll try to get through this. The only flashbacks, and this is off the Season 5 thing now, we're back to the list. The only flashbacks featured in this episode that are actually news scenes are the flashbacks regarding Grace's injuries in the car explosion and the flashbacks regarding Matthew. Despite the threat of the Doomsday Cult, Morgan does not appear to have removed his axe from the ground as he swore to do in Things Left to Do if a new threat arose. Instead, Morgan appears to have crafted a new darker-colored staff to serve as his weapon, as his original staff did before the death of Emile LaRue. This is the first time since The End is the Beginning episode that Morgan is seen solely using his staff as a weapon without it being combined with the axe. All right, it's 8:57. Let's see how much of the rest I can get. Co-stars last week, Mary Catherine Duhon as adult Charlie, Sean Ketting as adult Max, uncredited, and this is some explanation of the other people. Lev Emilio as John, Dwight and Sherry's imaginary son. I don't know if he's related to Austin Emilio. That's a very good question, actually. Unknown actor as Matthew, co-worker father Grace's baby. They just show him very quickly, and they do have a photo of him, but they don't give him credits. Sometimes that's a contractual thing. They can't. Unknown, not an actor, as a prop as Tina, Dwight and Sherry's imaginary daughter, who's the younger infant sibling of John. Unknown as Michael Sherman, the patient zero radiation-infected walker that Grace catches in Season 5. He appears in Grace's dream. Ari Loeb as cultist, random background character. Deaths last week. Matthew, alive and zombified. Athena Mukherjee, real baby, not the 16-year-old, but the infant, stillborn, played by a prop as an infant. They did not have an infant actor. And three unnamed cultists died last week. And there were no goofs, errors, bloopers named. We're at 8:59. So I will go ahead and pause here, and then we'll do birthdays at the first commercial break. Thank you guys for watching. Okay, guys, it's 9:03. That was a real short opening. I'm going to start with a 4.5. Joan's actually higher than me. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just... So Joan made a couple of comments that I missed too close to going dark, so I said I would share it now. Joan had said Thank God they haven't gone off Walking Dead mythos by having the undead talk outside of dream sequences. It's bad enough to use walkers for fertilizer. Well, not everybody is, and I think that's probably happened in Walking Dead as well. And she says, I'm guessing these people actually went back and watched the hurt that will happen while writing this. Well, yeah, they might have, actually. I think, you know, because a lot of these writers work on this for a couple of days, so they go back to episodes and try to catch stuff. But honestly, that's a lot to remember that you need to go catch. I don't know if they have a team doing it or what. And Joan further says, because otherwise, damn, I'm good at catching details in the original series, but not so much for this one. Of course, I'm not as invested in this one anymore, and I know how you feel, Joan. She said she looked it up, and I was correct in my thought that Austin Emilio's real-life son was the one playing John. And then Joan comments when the show comes on, wow, Morgan, really? And she's starting with a neutral middle of the road, five, can't promise she won't stay there 3 episodes. Now, we are back. I just want to say real quick, I understand both sides of this. I see why June did what she did, but I also think Morgan has a point. All right, going dark. All right, it's 9:14. We're at break number two, and I have to bitch because they said no talking. Well, okay. They said no talking dead until the 16th. I somehow thought in my brain that that was later than it was, and I realized it is the 16th. Okay, so I'm a dork. I am happy to announce that I've completely missed that tonight was when Talking Dead was coming back. And several people from tonight's show are going to be on there, including Keith Carradine and Aisha Tyler. And, yes, I am willing also to go to 525 for Keith Carradine and finding out who he is and blah, blah, blah. Back to the previous thing. I wanted to say that Morgan and June, I feel, and Joan somewhat sees my point, they both have understandable things going on with them, and they both also kind of fucked up a little bit. So, you know, June had a horrible thing happen with John Dory, and the whole thing was unnecessary and stupid and painful. But she also kind of went too far, and I can understand her wanting to kill Virginia, and I'm not sure that I blame her, but John asked her not to do certain things, and they needed her to not do certain things, and she messed it all up. And then Morgan went way too far and said stuff to her, you know, blaming her for what happened to Grace and all this stuff. And Joan's also fussing. Once again, the bullet supply is never ending. And Morgan, Joan had gotten cut off from the comment about Morgan. She was trying to say Morgan should also remember what it's like to grieve a spouse. He went a little nuts for a while a few times. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Morgan did not handle losing his wife very well. So definitely with all that. Let me go back to my notes and see if there's anything I can squeeze in. Cast birthdays. Yes, let's do that, please. Today is Kerry Payton, King Ezekiel's birthday, and he is from Augusta, Georgia. May 21st is Sankrish Balasubramanian, or just he goes by Bala professionally. He played Dr. Caleb Subramanian in Prison Season 4, and he is from Mumbai, India. Matt Lentz, who played older Henry, another one of the Lentz kids. May 23rd, he's from Fargo, Georgia. And Melissa Suzanne McBride, who plays Carol, May 23rd also, and she is from Lexington, Kentucky. Happy birthday to you. Thank you for your work on the show, as always. Featured music for last week was, of course, In Dreams by Roy Orbison, which is playing when Grace wakes up. And we're not doing Unaccounted For Characters. We are still in a commercial break. I'm going to check real quick and see if I can manage to find out a list of who is on the Talking Dead couch tonight. Why can I not find them? They're not blue check marked. All right. I'm going to have to not look by account. Talking Dead. Talking Dead. There we go. And we are still... still in a commercial break, so there might be time for me to actually do it. Okay, tonight's Talking Dead is going to be Jenna Elfman, Christine Evangelista, who's Sherry, newcomer Keith Carradine, and Fear director Aisha Tyler. So, and this will be right after the show tonight. So, super happy that these guys are back. They also gave a birthday shout-out to Carrie Payton. So, yes, all of that. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, 9:30, and we're only just to break number three. I'm going to stay at 525. So is Joan. How funny. So, comments in between. Joan was saying, I almost said, of course they have bullets in Texas, but no, even Texas should have run out by this time, unless they have a Eugene stash somewhere. I don't even know what to say to that, because I agree with you. And I have no answer for it. And yeah, Joan is like, okay, ew, with the walker getting all tangled up in the transmission. And she's about done with this Sherry bitch. Although it would be a way to tie in Fear to Walking Dead. And if they're traveling to Virginia, that's not really a straight line from Nebraska to New York is the only problem. They're a little ways off. But Joan is like, you know, her wanting to just go kill Negan, you know, there's a long line for that. Also, she has no idea of all the stuff that's happened since then. And I don't really feel like a redemption arc for Negan was called for, but he seems to be in one, so whatever. We also kind of feel like having Teddy be this same man that John Dory Sr. framed all these years ago is really contrived. The whole thing is really forced. And Joan says it feels like they're trying to make June into a substitute Madison. Maybe they're not trying to, but that's how it's coming off. And I think that's a valid criticism, to be honest with you. All right. So I don't have anything. Well, I have a little tiny bit. So I gave you The Talking Dead. Here's the rest of the back half of season six. There's not much, which is fine. Episode 83/14 is called Mother. We have the writers and directors now. So the writers for next week's episode are Alex Delisle and Channing Powell, both of whom are familiar names in this franchise. And that is going to be directed by Janice Cook, and that's May 23rd. And then following week, 84/15, is USS Pennsylvania. I'm sure that's the ship or whatever that the key goes to. Nick Bernadoni and Nazreen Chaudhry from The Other Night. Heather Capiello is the director, and that's May 30th. And then wrapping with 85/16, which is the beginning, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg and Satro, and that's June 6th. All right. And we're still in commercials. All right, so let me give you other upcoming shows on NDB Media. Include Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega, Monday nights 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We may be going back in a minute. Roger Noriega brings to you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. Currently hosted on StreamYard. And are we going back? No, it looks like we just have a trailer for something, but we probably will be. So I'm stalling. Discovery of Witches is on Sundance, June 27th. And we are back. I'll see you guys at break number four. We are, I think, at break number four. I almost said five, and I'm really not sure. Joan, keep me honest. I don't know which one it is. One of the two. I was laughing about JD's whole sperm to worm thing. Ew. Suddenly I'm 12 years old. I think I agree with Joan. I'm going to stay at 525. I just don't like that he's being this way with June. I don't see a reason for it. I'm not enrolled that he needs to be this way right now. So, yeah. Crappy writing, great actor. That's what I got to say about that. So let's go back and let y'all know some of the other shows on NDB Media that pretty much happen most weeks. Fandom Access Week in Reviews, Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the TV tantrum of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they digest another night of TV. I don't have a schedule for this upcoming episode yet, but I'm sure it'll be something fun. Also on Tuesdays, The Nightmare Hunter. I'm not sure it's every Tuesday. It's some Tuesdays. 10 p.m. Eastern Time also. Roger Noriega hosts this new series over on StreamYard. Check NDB's media Facebook page, NDB Media's Facebook page for more details. Rock and Roll Shrink, which I co-host on every other Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We were not on the 12th due to Dr. Mathis being out of town, but we will be back on the 26th at 11 p.m. So please join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. the Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. And our upcoming topic will be TBA. I may know more next Sunday. We'll see. Travel Itch Radio, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., hosted by Dan Schlossberg, founder, host, and executive producer, and his co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, Dan's longtime friend and colleague. I do not have a topic for this Thursday yet either, but that is the rest of our stable for the week and other stuff off and on as it comes on. Don't have anything else written. Jonah says, so crappy writing for great actors, same old, same old. Then, yeah, you know, of course they bring in Emma Caulfield to make her Tracy Otto and then just leave her hanging. Whatever. So at least we have, you know, other writers and directors that we know for the episodes coming up. And I hope they do better work considering the caliber actor they got in there because Keith Carradine's a heavy hitter. And they've added him to the credits, which means I'm pretty certain this is not a one-time episode with him, if they've gone to the bother to do that, because he wasn't just listed as a guest star for the night. He was added to the credits with the regular list in front. So I'm assuming he's going to be here for a while, and I think it's their way of taking the sting out of losing Garrett Dillahunt, which, by the way, I had forgotten and just realized a few days ago. I went with my bestie last Wednesday to see my first movie since quarantine hit. And we went to see the Goodfellas 4K restoration. And there were advertisements for Zack Snyder's Ocean's 11 zombie movie, whatever the hell it's called. I don't even remember the stupid name of it. But all right. Fear the Walking Dead is back. I'll see you guys at break number 5 or 6, whichever one it is. Damn it, I'm about to rescind my whole scoring backwards rule. Oh, my God. That son of a bitch just shot JD. Why would they put him in the credits? I am going to assume they put him in the credits because he doesn't die from this. And that better be the damn answer. Because this is just a little too much back and forth, same old kind of drama. All right. Yeah. Dwight, say goodbye to Sherry. Let her go to Virginia. And you know what? I'm going back to 5 because I'm pissed off because that was a stupid, cheap shot. Y'all can do better than that. This was not needed to further any kind of plot. Joe's looking to go to 4. I don't know. I don't know about that. I just think it's relying too much on getting us worked up and yanking it away, and now I have the hiccups. Ugh. I'm going to shoot a rubber band at something in my office because I'm ticky. Okay. All right. That is all I know for that. I've given you the upcoming shows on NDB Media. It is 9:50, so we've got approximately 10 minutes because they're going to do Talking Dead afterwards, which I'm super happy about. And I'm actually going to go back and review for you guys again just in case. Talking Dead should be up at 10, and that's going to be Jenna Elfman, Christine Evangelista, Keith Carradine, and Fear director Aisha Tyler. And, you know, Aisha sounds very talented. I'm not sure that she's to blame. I think this is just showrunners doing this shit. That's what I think. They really need to not do this. All right. I don't know what else. Joan, help me out here. She says, if those damn showrunners say one more time, we wanted to tell the story of blah, I may find them and shoot them. It seems to me every time I see anything along those lines from them, they fakakta one of the characters to tell the story. Joan, is that Yiddish? And does it mean fuck them all up? The only time I've heard that word is from my daughter's Jewish godfather. And yeah, I think it's like screw the pooch, sort of. I just married into Jewishness. I'm Irish, you know. I don't know these things. All right, get back to me with that one, what that means. But I agree with you if I'm correct about what that stuff means. So anyway, yeah. Well, now you got to remember that they are doing Tales from the Walking Dead. And that could be backstories for lots of people. Oh, pretty much. Joan's pretty much trying to be polite and not just say fuck. I'm surprised they let you say it in the chat. Usually when you type it, it censors it. I'm glad they didn't, actually, because we rated this show PG-13 because of the violence and occasional swearing and rough topics. Like, I don't really watch my language on here because you should not be a child and listening to my show. And I hope you're not. We may be going back in a minute, though, because we're having trailers for zombie stuff, including a Japanese one that I've heard of before, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's pretty cool. Oh, so now we're having, like, 80s cool movies. No apologies. No regrets. Lots of fun 80s stuff. Flashback Fridays starting at 8 p.m. on Fridays. All right, we're going back, so I'll see you guys at the end. It's 10 o'clock. Holy shit. I might go back up on my score because that was a fitting send-off for John Dory. But oh my God, the end of this episode is all up in my field. Those of you watching along with us live know what the hell I'm talking about. If you're listening to this later after the fact, well, if you timed the show out right with the episode, you'll know what the hell I'm talking about too. Good Jesus. I don't even know what to say to that. Joan scored a 5. Actually, I gotta go back and see. Yeah, she didn't technically actually go to a 4, so I don't know if she was just staying at 5 or what. But I think Jonah said the letter was fitting. The show has a few more minutes. Just listen until 10:10. Because, of course, it is. Because can they not just do stuff on time? What in the hell? I don't know why there's a commercial for Rocket Mortgage where guys hitting. Oh, he's looking for some kind of mechanical monkey. Chris Arbrick's here talking about Talking Dead, but of course I have him muted so it doesn't make noise while we're on the air. But I assume that he's talking about coming up shortly, and I'm very happy to see that. And sorry I was a dork earlier and didn't parse that it was supposed to come back tonight. I thought they were going to come back at the actual end of the season. But no, that's not the case. Ed Jones says, they can't stop on time anymore. They can provide decent writing consistently. No. Well, you know, to be fair, I am unfamiliar with how much control the writers have over how the storyline goes. So, like, if you could take an excellent writer, but if you put a certain kind of pen around him, and I don't mean a writing pen, I mean like a pen you would put an animal in, you know, boundaries. If you kind of tell them, this is how the episode basically has to go. I have a feeling that's the arrangement. I don't think these writers have that much leeway because they've got to keep consistency, and every week they have different writers and different directors, and they've got to keep the show going. So I'm pretty sure that there's a choke chain about some things. So I blame the showrunners, honestly. And Joan says she agrees. They probably do restrict the writers. So I'm not sure what's up with that. Oh, this is kind of fun. Google Meet's doing a commercial, and the families are signing, but I'm not sure which family member is deaf or hard of hearing. I wasn't clear. Maybe it doesn't matter. That's fine. That's cool. All right, it's 10:03. I'm sure they'll come back for some one last wrapping up snip. I like Keith Carradine being on the show, and I do feel like the way they have it set up indicates that he's going to be on more than one episode. I'm expecting that because you don't finally introduce a character like that. Now, these are the same dumbasses that brought in Emma and made her Tracy Otto. I'm never letting that chick go because she's awesome, and they did dirty by giving her a throwaway character the way they did. So I can't say they would never do such a dumb thing because they already did. But hopefully they will not continue to do the same dumb things because they already do enough of them as it is. All right. We are back. So here we go. See y'all in a few minutes. Okay, guys, it's 10:10. We're both ending on 5.25. We forgive Sherry for now. We forgive Morgan and June for being stupid for now, and everybody's making it up. And Keith Carradine is staying, and that's fine. And we get Alicia back next week, and we're having Talking Dead for Fear. So yay for all of that stuff. I'm going to make this short and sweet so you guys can get about the watching of the talking. So thank you not only for Joan for all of her help and everybody joining us tonight, but those of you who might be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or on the Blog Talk Radio website, special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. It'll be episode 14, Mother. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you all next time. We very much appreciate you. Good evening.